Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Sunday. It's been a minute since we talked to you. That's what the kids say these days, I think. I did a show last week with Dan Weber on Sunday, and now we're back with Coach Harvey Hyde. Follow him on Twitter, at Coach Harvey Hyde. Sorry for the little time off there. I was actually in Hawaii covering the Polynesian Bowl, so it was hard to do a show from there. So I'm back in town, back in my studio, and we wanted to get Coach Harvey Hyde on the line since we hit a brief hiatus. We gave him a week off, and now he's back, ripper and ready to go. If you have any podcast questions for us, podcast at uscfootball.com. That's our email address, or you can call us or text us, 424-254-9141. Please subscribe on iTunes. We're on itunes.com/peristylepodcast. Wherever your podcasting app is, you should be able to find us. If you can't, let me know. Email me, podcast@uscfootball.com. We'll make sure we get listed on your favorite podcasting app. All right, well, let's bring in the coach, Coach Harvey Hyde. Happy Sunday. Happy Championship Sunday if you're an NFL fan. What's going on, Coach?
Well, another great day. I'll tell you, I love this weekend and championship football weekend because you get actually two Super Bowls. I really do. It's exciting. Teams are playing at the very best. You're playing hurt. You know there's no tomorrow. You've reached this point. You're one game away from, you know, almost like saying you're one game away from going to the national championship game, where these guys are one game away from going to the Super Bowl. These are dreams that come true. I don't like bye weeks. I had a bye last week, but we're back, and I'm ready to play, and let's get started. I want to say to everyone out there, thank you for joining us again, and thank you for all your questions. We really appreciate your participation.
We really do, and we keep these rolling throughout the offseason. We still got a ton of questions, which is great. We love all that. And I don't know if you got to see this, Coach. So I found something on Twitter. I don't usually like to watch longer videos on Twitter. It's like a four-minute video put out by CBS. And as far as NFL production goes, I love the Fox team more than the CBS team. But CBS did an amazing job on their promo, like a teaser for the AFC Championship game with John Malkovich doing it. And it's like, it's a great, you have to watch the video. It's like 4 minutes long, certainly worth your time. It will fire you up for the game if you're not fired up already. So go check it out. Even if, you know, if you're listening to this after the game, go find it on Twitter. CBS tweeted it out. It was pretty special. Before we jump into everything, want to thank our sponsor, Southern California Tickets. Do you need tickets? You want to go to that AFC Championship game? You don't got a lot of time, but you could go to sctickets.com and they can hook you up, or give them a call, 1-800-888-7287. Tell Curtis that Harvey Hyde sent you. He might increase the price a little bit if you said, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, Curtis loves Harvey. So drop Harvey Hyde's name. It can't hurt. Give him a call, like I said, 800-888-7287, or go to sctickets.com. Not just sporting events, you can get like stuff to, you know, tickets to the theater. If you want to go to a concert, all that kind of stuff, you can get on sctickets.com. All right, Coach. So we had the bye week last week. I got a really, it was an unfortunate text message, I guess, to the Peristyle Podcast text line. It saddened me, and I let you know, and I know it was, you know, saddened for you too. But I'll read the text for you. He said, "Hi all, my name is Anthony Duncan. My father is, quote, Ed in the High Desert. He is a regular caller into the podcast and a diehard USC fan. Your show and playing his messages has become a very important part of his life. I'm messaging you to let you know that Dad passed away this past Saturday. He died peacefully at home and fully decked out in his USC gear. I just wanted to take a second and thank you all for playing his messages. It had become a real important part of his life. I love you guys for that. Thank you for what you did for my dad. Fight on, USC." Anthony, thanks so much for that. It was really sad, obviously, to hear. You know, Ed's been a longtime caller, and we love playing his messages, and the fact that we were a big, you know, important part of his life that he could hear him on the podcast, and that brought him joy. That makes me happy, but certainly sorry to hear him go. And then I got a follow-up from Jeff, who's USC fan that I've known for a while. He said, I went to Ed's memorial service today in the High Desert during his daughter's eulogy. She referenced Ryan Abraham and Coach Hyde from USCfootball.com as something her dad looked forward to every week. That was nice of her to do that. Just wanted to let you know, Ed would have been 84 on the 29th. Ryan, you and your site touch many people, and we all appreciate the hard work. Thank you so much, Jeff. And thanks, Anthony, for letting us know. I think Jeff originally informed me that Ed had passed away, and then Anthony texted and let us know, too. So, Anthony, Jeff, thanks so much for letting us know, and we are certainly sorry for your loss.
You know, it sort of chokes me up. I'll tell you, that we have those type of listeners, and I want to thank all of you out there. Ed and his family, we want to pass on our condolences. And if you'd have let me know, and I'm sure Ryan feels the same way, that he was such a dedicated listener, I tell you, I'd have called him and spoke with him. I don't know these situations, but I'm that type of guy. I'm a people person. And guys that are like that, and Trojans that are like that, and followers, I love to know those things sometimes in advance. Ryan, I don't know if you feel that way, but I appreciate those kind words. And if we were in any way able to help him in any way, enjoy USC football or USC in any way, it's our pleasure. And I hope he rests comfortably. And again, fight on.
Yeah, fight on, Ed. And that's great. I mean, obviously super sad. Ed passed away. But it does, it brings you joy that you know that during the last, I guess he's been writing in for a couple of years or calling in for a couple of years, that we brought him more joy. And it was something that he looked forward to, and hearing his name on the podcast and stuff. So, you don't realize how many people you touch, when you do these kind of things. And there's so many fans out there. And for the loudmouth message board fan who thinks that they're the end all and that they're the whole world, there's, for every, fan that you hear a lot from, there's, 10 or 20 that you never hear from. And I'm not calling Ed a loudmouth fan, mostly for the message board stuff, but there's just so many people that are lurking out there that just kind of listen or read to what we say or what we do and what we write. And they're there. And then when you run into them in the airport or wherever, they're like, oh, I've been listening for a long time, and you've never seen them before or heard from them before. So I'm glad we at least got to hear from Ed. And I know he really enjoyed writing in. He was very loyal from doing that. And it was, it was nice for everyone to kind of let us know. So we wanted to pay a little tribute to Ed in the High Desert. Unfortunately, we won't have any more questions from him, but his memories on the Peristyle podcast will certainly live on.
Well, if you could find one of those and play it, Ryan, we'll re-answer it again for him, for his family.
Yeah, look, I'll have to. Okay, so that'll take a little work. I'll go dig them up. If anyone out there, some past episodes, if there's a favorite Ed in the High Desert question that you have, let me know which episode, and I'll just pull it from that, and we can play it on the next show.
Good. Well, that way they can have something with his voice on it and our voice talking to him directly.
Yeah, that'd be good. Ed up there in heaven somewhere, we could answer his question one more time. Well, we want to get into some news, Coach, around the USC football program. It's been rather quiet out of USC since the Cotton Bowl. There was no media availability for Clay Helton, so people have asked us questions. They want to know what's going on, and we've made requests to have a press conference or anything, and there's nothing planned. So, but we did get a news release yesterday, making things official. Now, we've heard who the hires are going to be. There was reports that these guys were hired, but USC made it official yesterday. So, Brian Ellis, who took Tyson Helton's quarterback coaching job spot for the Cotton Bowl after Tyson Helton left for Tennessee to become the offensive coordinator, Brian Ellis was promoted. He was an offensive quality control assistant, and he played quarterback at UAB. He's been a full-time position coach for 1 year. He was a wide receivers coach at Western Kentucky. You know, played for Neil Callaway, connections with Tyson Helton and Clay Hill, the whole Helton kind of crew. So he was brought on as a quality control assistant, and they promoted him to quarterback coach for the Cotton Bowl. We asked Clay Helton if there was a chance he could get the full-time job, and he said definitely. And as of, made it official yesterday, he is now the full-time quarterback coach for USC. And then Kiri Colbert, so he was replacing Tyson Helton. The NCAA now allows a 10th full-time assistant, and Kiri Colbert is going to get that. He was also a quality control assistant for the USC offense, helping out with tight ends. He is now the tight ends coach and inside receivers coach. I don't remember USC splitting up receiving coaching duties ever. Mostly I think now a lot of teams do that. Like when I was covering Fresno State, because they got there's four wide receivers all the time when you're running a spread. So there's inside guys and outside guys. So his job title includes inside receivers and tight ends. He's helped with the tight ends before. He's now a full-time assistant at USC. Of course, he played at USC. He was an analyst at Alabama for a couple years. So maybe get some of that Nick Saban stuff rubbing off on him. But two internal hires, and there's still one left. USC needs to replace Dylan McCullough, the running back coach. So no announcement we've heard nothing really about who they're going to get for that. But any thoughts, Coach? It's a lot of the fans kind of panned this because they're both internal hires. I mean, both could end up being really good coaches. I just think fans were looking for something a little bit bigger than internal hires, promoting your quality control assistance.
And let's don't forget to mention the multi-year contract. I don't know what it is for how much, but Dee Martin got.
Yes. So Dee Martin, that's another big, yeah. Thanks for pointing that out, Coach. So that's one thing we've seen he announced and they tweeted it out. So yeah, so Dee Martin gets an extension, so he'll be sticking around after he interviewed for a couple different jobs during the offseason.
Well, how much time do I have?
As much as you want, Coach. We're here.
All right. Well, let's start from the beginning here. First of all, if I'm the head football coach at USC, I want to highlight my coaching staff as much as I can as far as with quality names and quality people that surround me. And I want to be the forefront of that. The program is me. As far as I take the hits and I take the supposed glory when there is that, and I pass it among my staff. So I want to make sure that I have the best surrounding cast I can have around me, because I can't do it all, especially as a head football coach. And I would become very concerned. I want my coaches to have the very best of whatever we have on our staff, but I'd be very concerned when an assistant coach gets a new extension for multi-year contract, and me as a head football coach hasn't been mentioned as me getting one. And we've had back-to-back 10-3, 11-3 seasons. And the offensive coordinator, which has, the offense has struggled somewhat and been criticized somewhat by us and as many other people, and for many different reasons, and who knows why, and we've tried to point it out, gets a multi-year contract. So that would concern me as a head football coach, and there's been no explanation on what the situation my position is, or the head football coach, because when you go recruiting, you say, I just got an extension, everything's cool. You don't go and say, my offensive coordinator got an extension, but I didn't. So I would think that if there is going to be an extension given, you better get out and get it done immediately. So that would concern me, because I would say, why would I have a guy on my staff that has a longer contract than I do, or equal? That's the first thing that concerns me. Number two, it's getting to be somewhat of a Western Kentucky cult. What I mean by that, you've got Western Kentucky everywhere. You lose a guy from Ty Helton goes away, you get another Western Kentucky guy. You got your head coach, Western Kentucky. You got your offensive line coach, Western Kentucky. And there's a guy that played for Callaway. So who's making the calls there? I'm not quite sure. Obviously, I don't know Brian Ellis. He could be a tremendous coach, and I certainly hope he is, but he's going to coach one of the top high school football players in America, and Daniel's coming in. And again, I'd worry a little bit about that hire unless there's a great relationship there with Daniels, saying, does Daniels want Ellis to coach him? I mean, I'm not quite sure, but you want to get better, or would you rather have a name that has done it with maybe other people who might be out there? So I'm not saying he isn't a great kid and he can't get it done. I'm just saying this is what I look at as a parent. This is what I look at as a coach. And since the question was asked, this is what I'm talking about. Also, I would wonder, I need more SC strength, more SC coaches, SC players on my coaching staff. Right now, Kerry Colbert, I think that was a great hire because I understand he's a great recruiter. I understand he's out there recruiting. When I talk to coaches and people out there that know what's going on, there's about two or three great recruiters on USC staff, and then there's some that don't do any. So you need to get, when I see any, I mean, yeah, they'll make a phone call, okay? Or maybe leave the office occasionally, or whatever. I'm talking about recruiters, man. I'm talking about guys that don't sleep. I'm talking about guys that hit as many schools and home visits as they can do, and as a head football coach, take me everywhere, wear me out. So I think Kerry Colbert is that type of guy. He's got the experience. He's a Trojan. I think he can recruit. So I like that hire. I think that's a good hire, but you've got a Trojan, too, on the staff that when someone walks on the field, he recognizes who he is, if it's a Ron Yeary or a Brad Buddy. And I'm not saying other coaches don't know who they are, but you need to have relationships with the past alumni. You've got to be able to bring the guys back, the old guys back, the old alumni guys back, the guys that remember those type of guys and want that type of program. So when you hire a coach, you've got to hire a coach for a lot of reasons, not just because you like him or he fits or he's been around. So I think it's very important that you do that type of hiring. Now, the running back coach, I have no idea who he has in mind, but I sure as heck hope it's somebody that can recruit and coach, not just a name. And I hope he's from the West Coast somewhere where he has ties to the West Coast. So when you tell him to get on the 605 and take the 605 to the 210 and take the 210 East, he knows where that is. He doesn't have to get a road map. Or when he walks into a high school office, they don't even recognize him or know who he is unless he has a USC shirt on, and then they have to ask him his name. I think it's really important that you do and get quality people as far as on all areas of the football, in the secondary, on the defensive line. You've got to overcome a lot of youth that you have on your coaching staff with quality guys that have been there with the lights on and know what they're doing. Because as a head football coach, you can't get out and do all these things. You've got to have guys that have done it, guys that have worked with Nick Saban. You take Lane Kiffin. He's 100 times a better football coach right now than he was before he went to Alabama. He knows how championship teams do it. He's learned so much as far as how to handle his staff and how to grow up. Steve Sarkisian, the same, by just hanging out there with Nick Saban on how to practice and how to utilize your coaches, how to recruit, how to win. So you've got to bring guys up to know how to win and bring in things from other programs that they can feed you the information that championship teams do. So I'm hoping this is what Coach Clay Helton is doing. I like Coach Clay Helton, but you've got to be able to remember everybody's trying to beat you. Across town, they're giving a guy $23 million contract. They're bringing in coaches that are quality coaches that he's handpicking everywhere. Not guys that have not coached before, but guys that have coached before, guys he's had at Oregon before. You got to compete with this. So unless you keep that level of quality up and you're willing to pay for your assistant coaches, because assistant coaches now are expected to get paid, but they have that choice to go somewhere and get paid. Not their fault. It's because people are willing to do that. Is USC willing to do that? Or are they hiring younger coaches because they can get them cheaper? I'm not sure, but I'm just throwing that out to everyone out there so you're prepared to understand how this works. USC doesn't have to announce being a private school on how much they're paying anybody. But these are the things when I'm asked the questions I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the quality of staff that USC has and the number of USC coaches they have and the tradition that's been there. And now, right now, I don't think they intimidate anybody when they come into the Coliseum to play them.
And it's hard, Coach, because, you know, I talked to Brian Ellis before the bowl game. Seems like a really sharp kid. I mean, he's young. He's like 29 years old. I'm sorry to call him a kid, but I'm 47, so he's a kid to me. You know, and Kira Colbert I've known for a long time. It's, I think, in a vacuum, like either one of those hires would be fine, especially with, you know, former player and stuff like that. But like you said, it's kind of a trend. And the last assistant coaching hire was the one time that USC went outside of the family, outside of the comfort zone, and brought in Dylan McCullough, and he was great, you know. And yeah, you lost him after a year, but you know, the running backs didn't fumble. They ran through trash, as Dylan liked to say. I mean, that was a really good hire, and I think a lot of the fans were like, let's see Clay Helton do that. And you see a team like Ohio State, their 10th assistant, they didn't promote a quality control assistant. They went out and hired Washington State's defensive coordinator. You know, like, so that's the kind of moves that I think USC would like to see. And it's unfortunate because, you know, Brian Ellison and Kira Colbert might end up being tremendous coaches, but because of the, I guess, the inexperience on the staff, they'd like to see USC go out and make some bigger moves. But you mentioned former players. We have this question, Coach, and we'll keep talking about this. We have a couple coaching questions, voicemail, but I'll play this one for you. Here's a former player that someone's suggesting.
Hi, this is Richard from Toluca Lake. This is both for Ryan and the coach. Now that we no longer have a running back coach, do you guys feel that it is imperative that not only do we get a name running back coach, but one that can also recruit? Because quite honestly, there is nobody on the staff at the moment that can go out and recruit. With that in mind, this is a novice question for Coach Hyde. I'm wondering if it would be any good to bring on somebody or even ask somebody like a Carson Palmer to come in as a volunteer assistant. He would certainly have credence as a Heisman Trophy winner. He would also bring credence as far as recruiting concerned. It's just a thought, but guys, we need some name coaches. And again, we need to go out and recruit offensive linemen that can do something. I don't need more wide receivers. Love the program and fight on. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, thank you very much. I agree with everything you say. I know there's some top recruits out there and they're getting more receivers, but that, you know, you can only play so many receivers. And I think they start to get a little discontented when they're not playing. They lost Bryce Butler a few years ago, and I can name you other ones that are now starting in the NFL that never could play at USC. How about Cameron? I think he, the tight end, I think he caught two passes his senior year at USC. You know, you got to get talent, but you got to play your talent, and it's got to fit what you're doing. I agree 100% on who they get as far as the running back coach. We talked about that a moment ago. You got to have somebody that can recruit, okay, and has respect. And is known nationally, and who can pick up the phone and call people and find out who's hot in that area. What do you think about this guy? And they say, we take this guy, or we're going to take him. Why don't you offer him? You got to be able. It's almost like the NFL. I tell you, when we recruited, we talked to either with the other schools on comparison of notes and what you think and who do you think is going where and why. And you got to have somebody that's been there, man. You got to have somebody that's got ties and knows how to recruit and knows how to identify who the person is that's going to make the decision. I used to be able to identify that it was the equipment man that this kid was going to go to and sit down and talk to and say, where should I go, Pop? And the guy would sit down and talk. Because a lot of time these kids don't know who to talk to. And sometimes it's their girlfriend. Well, you got to have a mature guy that can do more than talk in a language that is just because he understands him in the slangs that are used. You got to have a man and a father image sometimes. Talk to the parents and talk to the mother and say, hey, I'm going to take care of this kid. And that mother has a lot of faith in you in doing that. That happened with me with Terrell Davis as far as when he didn't have anywhere to go and this and that. And the equipment man was the guy that made the decision down at Lincoln High School. I agree. You got to have someone that is mature. You got to have, can't be afraid of having great coaches around you. And like I've talked before, you've heard me say, why not have Norm Chow as a consultant? Norm lives in Southern California. He would love to come in. Now he can't because he's got something else, I think, online doing. But come in and sit on the game plans or be in recruiting meetings or that type of stuff. Or Carson Palmer, like you met, said, you know, kids want to meet people like this. And not only that, it's a great feeling to say, hey, this guy went to USC too. Hey, you can't surround yourself with enough great talent on the field and in the administrative offices and at the recruiting coordinator spot. And can these people make the determination on what and how to forecast an athlete and what's going to happen? And can they pick up the phone? And when you call a coach, the coach says, coach, how you doing? I remember seeing you here. It's important. Relationships. You need people from Southern California on your staff. It's all connections, relationships. And it doesn't hurt once in a while to hire a great high school coach or hire a great community college coach. But then the communities and the coaches know that maybe someday if I send some players to USC, I also might be able to be considered for a job or a graduate assistantship or something. So that's all part of the public relations that goes on. And really, today, it's not only the university you're going to, it's who you like and who your contact is and who your coach is.
That's a great segue to our next question, Coach. This is Frank in Fresno, who he's called in a bunch of times. He called a bunch in a row, but this was an interesting point. I think it's probably more for the support staff roles, but I think that's something USC needs to expand tremendously. But I'll play this for you and get your thoughts.
Hi, this is Frank Fresno, longtime Trojan fan, of course. Hey, I got to thinking about some of the things you guys were talking about on the podcast about personnel or better staff or better coaching, however you want to spin it. But why doesn't USC? Maybe they do. I don't know. Of course, none of us listening really know what goes on behind the scenes. But why don't we chase that top talent coaching as far as the high school ranks go or college ranks? But what about looking at the guys from De La Salle? Why not the guys from Modern Day, their football program, or even IMG Academy out in Florida? There could be a diamond in the rough. There could be that guy that USC could bring on staff. Some of those guys that have been with those programs long term and obviously have huge success rates. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out, you guys. Thanks.
No, I think it's a great question. I know when you put your staff together, you try to get somebody from all the different areas so you have contacts immediately. I remember when I hired my staff at UNLV, the first thing I did is go to the top weight and conditioning program in the country, and that was Nebraska with Boyd Epley. He had just written a book. They had a major there in strength and conditioning. I went there and asked him who his top student was, who was the guy's top graduate assistant, who would be a great strength coach, and he told me his name, Tim Wilson, and immediately I hired him because he had the strongest team in America, and they were winning national championships. So whatever they were doing in the strength and conditioning room, I wanted in our strength and conditioning room. And people knew about Nebraska. Kids have heard about Nebraska. So I wanted that in our weight room. And again, I went out and hired the top community college coach in the country. Hired Greg Mons from Ventura College and Ronnie Mims from L.A. Southwest. Ronnie had played for me. I wanted community college contacts so we could tie up the community colleges in California. You want to be able to do that. Graduate assistant I brought in from Crescenta Valley High School, who knew a lot of people, who was willing to come in and work on his master's degree. Brought in a guy from St. Mary's for a graduate assistant because I wanted to tie up Northern California. It's very, very important that you acknowledge all areas of coaching. Brought in the Arizona State Greg Mons recruiting coordinator. Frank Cush had just been terminated, so I wanted to make sure that I had somebody that knew how to recruit Southern California in great speed and great athletes and the type of athletes that Frank Cush used to get. Burners, man. And then I wanted to play great defense. And at Arizona State, they played great defense with Frank Cush. So I brought in Bob Owens as my defensive coordinator, who was the interim head coach for Arizona State for that year. So I wanted to surround myself with guys who had recruited Southern California, guys who had recruited Texas. So I brought in a guy that had coached with me at Hawaii. He was then at the offensive coordinator, offensive line coach at Utah. Before that, he was at Texas Tech. So he knew Texas. He knew what was going on in Texas. He knew all the coaches in Texas. So when I sent him to Texas, he was down there and he knew who to walk in, and they all knew him. They call him Alley Cat. And it was great to do that. So it's so important to be able to have those type of talented people around you. Well, you don't have to teach them all. You want them to come in, and you want them to add to what you know as far as how they did it at Utah, how they did it at Texas Tech, how they did it at Arizona State, how they did it in these different areas. And then, of course, you have your philosophy, and you take what you need to take from all these different areas. Like, I would want to hire somebody from Alabama. How does Saban do this? I'd want to hire somebody from probably Ohio State if I need a recruiting person, a young guy, give him a graduate assistantship. How do they do it under Urban Meyer? I want to know these type of things and add it to our staff with the quality, and loyalty means so much today. Loyalty in your staff and guys that want to come in, and I want guys that want to be head football coaches, not guys that are just coming and never will be head football coaches. I want everybody on my staff to be potentially a head football coach. And that's what you ask yourself. Do you have that on the staff that you currently have at USC?
One more question, Tom from Torrance. One more question about coaching. I think there's a last one. Maybit in Ontario wanted to know who you'd pick as a replacement for Dylan McCullough. We kind of talked about that already. So thanks, Maybit, for that. But Tom in Torrance said, confident and self-assured coaches hire other coaches that have the experience and knowledge to win games. They're not afraid of them to take their jobs. This is the opposite of Clay Helton. He does not have the confidence in himself to do that. He only hires his brother and uncle or some inexperienced young coaches. This will fire back on him, especially since Sam is gone next year. Need your thoughts. Thanks. I enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work. Tom from Torrance.
Well, I think that's true. We talk about that all the time, okay? You can't be intimidated on who surrounds you. You want the best coaches in America. You know, in the Southeastern Conference, they're paying their assistant coaches $1.5 million to $2 million. Those guys are pretty good coaches. How about Kirby Smart? He's a disciple of Nick Saban. He does exactly what Nick Saban does. He goes over to Georgia. He puts in the same program there. Not that Mark Rich couldn't do a great job. But, he's doing the way Nick Saban does. And immediately he's the number one recruiting class in the country also. So, you know, you want people from areas and around you. And he was a potential head football coach, and all the other great coaches that he's had there and every other place and some of these other coaches have had. You want those people around you. You want to be able to say, hey Dick, you've played at Utah before. How did you go there? Where did you stay? What did you do? What type of turf is it? Do you like the turf? What type of shoes? You know, these are the type of things you want to know. You want to be able to know it in advance. You want to say, hey, when you travel down there, did you ever go as a short distance? Did you ever take that by bus or did you fly? You want to be able to have conversations. You don't want to go to a kid. Kid doesn't know. Kid's never done it. He's there to learn from you. I want to be able to call in my defensive coordinator and say, hey, tell me now, you've got this kid. Is this kid going to grow up to be a player or not? And what's your thoughts? You've been around. You've coached this linebacker and that linebacker. Is this kid compare with him? The kid doesn't know. He's never coached anybody. I mean, not that he can't recognize talent. Or you want to be able to have an older guy with an image that doesn't talk jive, but puts his arm around a kid and says, come into my office. He sits down and says, son, what's bothering you? Tell me about it. Is everything at home good? Let's call home. He knows and recognizes something something's wrong, and he wants to motivate this kid, and he wants to love this kid, and he wants this kid to know that he cares about him. You got to have that from experience, you know, not just because you listen to the same band. So there's a lot of things you got to have, and I'm not saying you don't need that also. And some of your younger, aggressive coaches that more or less communicate with kids. But you've got to have a lot of experience around you when you're in the type of coaching position as USC, because today people expect a lot, and right now there's getting to be a big separation between the Pac-12, the Southeastern Conference, the Big Ten, and the ACC. It's starting to separate it. And if you look, San Diego State beats Arizona State and Stanford. Boise State beat Oregon. I mean, hey, wait a minute here. What's happening? So everybody better take a look at that. 1-8 in bowl games? Tommy, is that something to be proud about?
No. Okay, so that's kind of the coaching talk we had. Let's see. Tarek had a few questions. We've got to go through these kind of quickly. If you were the athletic director at USC, would you give Clay Helton an extension now based on what he's accomplished, or would you wait to see how 2018 turns out now that Sam Darnold will not be around to save Helton a second time? Oh, so Tarek feels Sam Darnold saved
him. Let me ask you, first of all, so everyone knows, do you know what his contract is, how long it's for?
I mean, they didn't even announce anything. I think there was 3 years that were guaranteed, so this would be the last year, but there was like a couple years on top of that potential. But we don't know for sure.
Okay, good. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead with the question.
No, that was it. Like, do you think if you were the athletic director, would you give him an extension?
Well, this is what your job is, to make big decisions. You're getting paid $2 million a year to understand how to run an athletic department and what's necessary to stimulate and recruit and make your athletic department successful. Sometimes I wonder what's going on in the athletic department, you know, when they hire nothing. I don't want to get into that. But you either are on board or you're not, okay? You can't be wishy-washy. You're coming out and you're endorsing him and signing him to a contract, and inside that contract you can put any type of language you want, okay? You can put in there and no one reads the contract and you say, Clay Helton given a 3-year extension, but inside the contract you have all these written clauses to give you an out, okay? But nobody sees that. Nobody knows that. So, but you've got to show, if he's going to be your head football coach, you've got to show support from the entire university. It can't be, oh, he's not the guy to get it done, or we're not going to do it. And it starts at the top. You've got to be able to support him. You can't be able to just say, well, we're going to wait and see. What do you mean you're going to wait and see? You either are or you aren't. Don't play that middle guy. That's easy to do, and you go nowhere. So if Coach Swan is listening, or Lynn Swan is listening, you know what I'm talking about, buddy. You've been around a long time. You got a feeling, a gut feeling, what you're thinking about. But that doesn't mean that you can't support your head football coach and come out and be a strong supporter so the guy has a chance to win. So, you know, you've got to come out and support him so the guy has a chance to win. This wishy-washy stuff doesn't get it done. You don't give assistant coaches extensions when you don't give the head coach extensions. Support the man. Don't sit back and just wait to see what happens, because if you sit back and see what happens, you know what's going to happen. And if you want to make a change, make a change. If you don't want to make a change, then support this guy. If you still want to wait and see what's going to happen, support this guy. So that's how I feel on that. And I think that if you sit back and you're wishy-washy, then your team's wishy-washy, and your recruiting's wishy-washy, and your assistants are wishy-washy, and everything else.
We don't want a wishy-washy program, Coach. Tarek went on to say, could it be the case that the reason 2016 looked as successful was because there was no real expectations, while 2017 had high expectations? What do you think, Coach?
Yeah, I do. I think whenever you whenever you're predicted to win big, you never win enough. And when you're not expected to win that much and you win big, you did a great job. That's one thing about recruiting. Whenever you have a number one class, a number one class, a number one class, where everybody expects you to win big, 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 big. You have a number five class, a number four class, a number six class, and you win big, you're a great coach. Hey, when you have great players, people think they don't need great coaches. But it is a combination. So, yeah, when you're predicted and all the preseason magazines think you should do this and you do that and you have a Heisman Trophy candidate and all of this and that, and you don't perform up to what everyone expects you to perform, then, of course, yeah, there's that question. But, again, your coach of the year, I think he was coach of the year 2 years ago. This year he wasn't coach of the year, and he won the Pac-12. So what's that tell you?
Yeah, and I think it's a when you won, too. When you start 1-3 and then win your last nine, you're building on, you know, you have that the rough patch, and then you build on it, and you win 13 games in a row. But USC lost games later. They lost in the bowl game. They got blown out by the powerful team. So certainly, and, you know, if you just look at the final rankings, you know, USC wasn't ranked in the top five at the end like they were in 2016. So that's part of it, too.
Exactly. They finished number third in the nation 2 years ago.
Yeah. Tarek,
it's all that stuff, man. It's all that stuff. And then, you know, your question about preparation and how you prepare and how you practice. People that go to practice, you know, the guys that have been around football know football. And they don't just stand there and, you know, just talk. They talk about, you know, with each other and share thoughts and everything else and how many days you use and how much you hit and this and that. All these things are evaluated. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. Tarek's last thing was, even though the Trojans lost several key starters, shouldn't a reasonable expectation still be the Pac-12 championship for next year, for 2018? I agree 100%. I mean, USC is still the most talented team in the conference, and there's five coaching turnovers in the Pac-12. Yes, you lose Sam Darnold and some key offensive players, but the expectation should be winning the Pac-12 championship. What do you think, Coach?
Well, I always started coaching and felt I had to have players to win a Pac-12 championship or any championship, so no matter what level you're on. And if you don't start with that belief when you immediately start the season or preparation for the season, which is now in your opening game through your second game and third game, which is going to be quite a challenge at Stanford with Costello back and Bryce Love back and that going up there with a young quarterback. You better start thinking big. If you don't think big time, you're never going to be big time. And so you better have a big time program, think big time, dress big time, travel big time, practice big time. Everything you do in your program's got to be big time, and it can't be me and team. It's got to be team and me in uniform and sideline control and everything you do. Otherwise, everybody's trying to win. So it's not like, you know, USC's the only team that's trying to win. They're all trying to win. So you better be a little bit better in every area than everybody else, too. So, yeah, I would say that every single year USC should be there to win the Pac-12. But you know what's happening now in the Pac-12? Everybody's thinking they can win the Pac-12.
Yeah.
It isn't any longer you got to beat USC to win the Pac-12. No. That's not the way it was. A couple of years ago, you got to beat Oregon to win the Pac-12. No, that's not the way it is. So it's not like USC is a dominant horse, man. Today, you got to coach them up. Today, you got to be better. Today, there's a lot of things. But when you ever look at the schedule, whenever you look at the recruiting, whenever you look at the tradition, and whenever you look at who went to the Rose Bowl more than anybody else, who's got more players in the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame than anybody else? When you ever look at all of that, what school is it? USC. So there's no reason to change why they shouldn't be the same. And that's what people are talking about. How have we allowed ourselves to drop by back down when we're not the dominant horse? Now, of course, they went through the sanctions. Don't get me wrong. But they're getting players or any player they can now, and they've got their numbers back. So there's no real excuses. If you made mistakes in recruiting, that's your fault, not the kid's fault. It's your fault, but you're the one that offered the scholarship. If you don't have the quality of coaches, that's your fault. Now, it's not your fault if you're not getting the support from the administration, the necessary things you need to win. That's someone else's fault, okay? So that's what we went back to a while ago when we were talking about the support from the administration, the top down.
All right, we got a few more. We'll let you go. Get you on your championship Sunday. We had a text message from Montgomery and San Dimas. He said, "Hey, Harvey, if you have a two-back offense, four backs get to play, right? That's a positive for recruiting."
No, it is. It's positive for recruiting, and I think always it's great to be able to run the football, and you can do a lot more with two backs than you can with one back. It just makes sense, especially when your quarterback can't run. What I mean by that, he's not considered a running back or a threat for the defense. So it just makes sense to me. Just makes sense that you do get your best players on the field, especially when your running backs have hands and can catch the ball, because he is another receiver. So why not have two running backs? Why would you have four receivers or whatever you're doing without and not two running backs? It makes no sense to me, especially when they're great running backs. Hey, Ronald Jones had great hands. Can you imagine him now when he's not having to pass block, going out in the route and then getting matched up either with a safety or with a linebacker trying to cover him? Ridiculous. It's a mismatch in most situations. To me, I just think it's such a great better opportunity when you have guys that can run the football and you can ISO and run blocks and have lead blocks and greater pass protections. And also, I think it's great, too, to have a tight end that intimidates people right now by being 6'7", 265 pounds. It comes off the line of scrimmage with two running backs and is a mismatch for any outside linebacker. You can get block downs, double teams, clear out the pass, go down on linebackers, outside release, put him in the slot where he's a mismatch. I mean, I don't understand why you don't get these type of players and play these type. Now, not that USC doesn't have talent, but if you're going to have a tight end means a tight end is supposed to be one of the best athletes on your team, which means in the NFL, who are they always looking for? Tight ends, tight ends, tight ends. Tight ends got to mismatch everybody else. Well, you can't just have a big receiver and then ask him to block Bosa from Ohio State man-on-man. Are you kidding me? I mean, what type of blocking scheme is that, really?
Are you asking me? I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't even know either because with two backs, you can chip off or send one on and help the tight end block him. You know what I mean? You can do so many different things. Or everybody blocks area. Everybody blocks to the right. Two backs go to the left. If there's not two guys coming, the other back's free to go out in a route. There's just so many different things you can do with two backs that you can't do with one back.
Yeah. We got two last questions, both kind of having to do with the national championship game. Mark, I would like Coach Hyde to answer the following question. Does USC have even one player that would start ahead of any of the 44 starters in the national championship game? Yes, they would. But what do you think, Coach?
Oh, yeah, they would. I mean, it's hard for me to think back now, but Sam Darnold, I think, would start. I liked
Sam Darnold's a better quarterback than whatever was on the field there. Yeah, so no question about it.
No. I think Ronald Jones is a pretty good back. Not that I think he could play anywhere. I think Ronald Jones is one of the best running backs in the country.
Both those teams had some great running backs. You could see.
Yeah,
you know,
they do,
that.
But he's one of them. He can play.
It's funny. I was on the sidelines of the Cotton Bowl, and Daniel Jeremiah, our buddy, I think I mentioned this on the podcast before. He's a former NFL scout, works for NFL Network. He thought on the defensive side, Ohio State was pretty much better at every position except maybe Uchenna and Wusu. So I think Uchenna would have a shot there. But on offense, it wasn't like they have the receivers. I think USC would have some shots there, but it's Sam Darnold was definitely the best quarterback of all those guys. So there's at least one, Mark.
there's at least one. But I really think he's that type of player. I think he's going to really blossom. I think he didn't get better this year, which he should have. And I think one of his reasons for leaving, he didn't need to stay. He didn't see how he would get better. And if you look at all the predictions he's going to be anywhere from 1 to 5 in the first round.
Yeah.
So, hey, guys, let's be honest. If it was your son, what would you do?
Yeah. You get like $20 million guaranteed. All right, one last thing from Tom. He said, for Coach Harvey Hyde, I watched the Alabama-Georgia game. I saw freshmen on both sides playing at a highest level, and Alabama won the game with 2 freshmen. We have great and talented freshman class coming up. I wonder if the current USC coaching staff will develop them. I have my doubts. What do you think? Thanks for the great work you do. Fight on, Tom.
I agree with him. I agree that, I don't know, somehow at USC you got to prove yourself as a freshman. I don't know. If you're the best player, you're going to play for me. And I used to tell my team when I used to go recruiting after fall camp, I'd call them in a room, we'd have a meeting, and I'd say, I want you guys to know, and I think I've told this story before, I'm going out recruiting, I'm going to try to put every one of you guys on the bench, okay? That means we got better. Now, if you allow me to do that because you're not working out and you're not trying to be a better football player, don't blame me, blame yourself. If I can bring a freshman or a JC kid out here, and you've been on our program all this time, you know the offense, you know the defense, and you know all these things, and I can bring a guy and beat you out, don't be complaining to me. Look at yourself in the mirror. And if I can go out and get me a freshman that's a better football player and he can start, he's going to play. I'm going to tell you that right now. And the other guy can complain all he wants because it's his fault, not mine. And I think that's an obligation to the team. But the team knows who's the best players. The team knows when you're playing favorites. You telling me the players don't know who the best players are? They cover them every day. They block them every day. They know who the players are. And when you're not playing certain players, then you better watch yourself because you're not going to be around long and you're going to lose that team. You're going to lose the team in the locker room. You're going to lose that team in the library. You're going to lose that team because that team knows you're not playing the best players, okay? So, yeah, if a freshman can come in and play, he's going to play. And I'm anxious to see, well, you know, let's talk about it ourselves. In this past year, how long did that take him to figure out Tyler Vaughn? How long did it take him to figure out that Pittman? How long did it take him to figure out that these guys could play football? Took him half the season, 3 or 4 games. What are you talking about? You know if these guys can play or not. And Lewis, the other receiver that's a freshman, and Grimes, who's going to be a great player that they burn a redshirt year on. Hey, somebody keep track of this stuff. You can't allow this stuff. Burnett would be back if they hadn't burned his freshman year and put him in for 18 plays. What are you talking about? So, you know, there's a lot of things like this you have to be on top of and aware of, and people have to know what they're doing as far as keeping track of minutes and who's going to play and not going to play during a football season. So, absolutely, I'm going to answer that question right now and tell you if my guy is better than the other guy and he's a freshman, he's going to play because he's going to get better every game too.
All right, that's the coach, Harvey Hyde, bringing it after the bye week. Thanks again, Coach, for coming on, and hope you enjoy all the football today.
Thank you, guys. And again, I want to thank all of you for being a part of the show. Without you, we don't have a show. Ryan, again, I want to thank you. And again, you can follow me at Coach Harvey Hyde, at Coach Harvey Hyde, or go to my website, harveyhyde.com. And again, I want to thank Southern California Tickets for the, not sponsorship, but just being a part of this show, too.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Southern California Tickets. Thank you, Coach, for coming on again. And one last farewell to Ed in the High Desert. We're thinking of you. And thanks. Wherever you are, listening to podcasts up in heaven. Hope you're still enjoying the show. All right. Well, that's Coach Harvey Hyde. I am Ryan Abraham, publisher of USCFootball.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287, 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concert, sports, and theater.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.